Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi there. My name is Jeff.
And I'm Juliana, and we're the hosts of Into the Fold, a Grishaverse podcast.
This is a show where two best friends share their love of Leigh Bardugo's Grishaverse, chapter by chapter.
We started it because Jeff was a longtime fan of this fantasy universe, and I was a newcomer until they told me all about it. And also because we're best friends.
Most of the time, we talk about the Grishaverse novels, a few chapters at a time. But sometimes we drop special episodes like our trivia smackdowns and crossover episodes with other podcasts.
Whether you're a longtime Grishaverse fan like Jeff, or a newcomer like me, or you just need a new fantasy universe to become obsessed with, now is the perfect time for you to join us as we make our way through these incredible books.
You can listen to us anywhere pods are cast, follow us on Instagram at IntoTheFoldPod, and email us anytime at IntoTheFoldPod@gmail.com.
See you in the fold!
It's the Trivia Podcast, where I ask you questions about stuff you might not even know, but you just might if you watch TV shows and movies.
Hello and welcome to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Sheehan, and in this episode, I'll be asking questions from Hercules. Our guest today is Jeff from the podcast Into the Fold, among many others. Jeff, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for inviting me back, Brian. I'm so excited to find to get to do this with you again.
Yeah, I guess we should mention, too, you were here. You kicked off Harry Potter trivia. Must have been a couple months ago at this point.
I feel like it's almost been a full year. I well remember when we recorded that podcast together, because as soon as we got done, I texted a friend of mine who's also in the Harry Potter podcasting space, and I said, I just got done doing that thing I told you about. They said, well, how did you do? I said, man, I set fire to that thing. Like, not to brag, but I'm pretty sure, like, it's probably good that I was the first one on, because I set the bar. I don't brag about myself in that way very often, but when it comes to things like that, I am fully prepared to say, if you want to beat me in that arena, good luck. I don't know if today's episode will be as successful, because I had to do a lot more studying for this, but we'll see.
You were such a great guest to have to kick off Harry Potter trivia. I'm so excited to do this Disney trivia with you. But again, I guess part of the reason you were so good at that is because you have two other kind of Harry Potter related podcasts among your Into the Fold Grishaverse podcasts as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, because when I was here before, I was invited in my capacity as a Speak Beastie host. That's the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them podcast I'm on. Mm-hmm. So I tried to kind of be a good ambassador for that show, stay on brand, focus on that. But since I was here the last time, I have also been invited to become a host for Alohomora. And I know you're familiar with that show because you had my dear, dear friends, Sam and Grace, on to do, I don't remember which movie it was. I think they might have actually been Chamber of Secrets right after me.
They might have been Goblet of Fire. I think we might have done a question about the Black Lake.
That sounds right. I believe that.
But they are great.
But anyway, I know they were here, and they did a tremendous job. But I'm a host on that show now, which is really cool, because that's one of the first podcasts I got into, period. And it's been my go-to Harry Potter podcast for the longest time. So when they invited me to join them...
Oh, that's so cool.
I was absolutely thrilled about that. And mm-hmm. Into the Fold that you mentioned is, I would say that's kind of my number one podcast that I'm on right now, we had actually started that a few months before the last time I was here. But that's a podcast that my friend Juliana and I started because if you're on Netflix, then you've no doubt noticed that Shadow and Bone is a big series. And if you're into YA fantasy novels like I am, you know the name Leigh Bardugo because the Grishaverse has been expanding for a number of years now. But after Juliana and I became friends, the way we came to make this podcast together was she was looking for a new series to read. The Grishaverse was something I knew a lot about. She had never read any of it. So I sent her the first book in the series, Shadow and Bone. She devoured it, and then she sent me a screenshot of her cart on her Target.com account where she had just purchased every other Grishaverse book that existed up to that point. All of them.
That's you have inspired a fan there.
I did, and that was a lot of, apparently a lot of podcasts, especially read through podcasts for series, they start that way, where one of the hosts is an expert, they've been a big fan for a long time, they know the show and the series back to front, and their co-host is kind of the, you know, the new person, the amateur that doesn't really know that much yet. But by this point, I would say that Juliana's knowledge of the Grishaverse is as expansive as mine, because she's really been taking in those books since we started the show.
Very cool. I have to ask you here about YA novels. I do a kind of book club with a group of friends as well, and one of them really wanted to do one that has been a hit more recently called The Inheritance Games.
I have heard that title. I'm not familiar with it, though.
Oh, boy.
Of course, in my defense, Leigh Bardugo's latest novel, Hellbent, from a different series, dropped the same day as Prince Harry's memoir, Spare. So I've kind of been, I have been steeped in no shortage of reading material.
Okay. Well, personally, I say The Inheritance Games is one you can skip. It wasn't quite for me, but it was something. It was my first YA one in a long time, and I had a little trouble getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Harry Potter ones being so much better.
Yeah, the Harry Potter ones are interesting because it starts off very whimsical and fanciful and, you know, fun. And yeah,
as the movies do.
Yeah, exactly. The movies are actually, you know, for all they say about the movies not getting everything right, there's the way that they progress is actually, I think, a fairly good reflection of how the novels mature. Because yeah, there's murder and stuff in the beginning, but you know what hit novel doesn't have at least a little bit of murder in it?
Sure, of course,
a little dash of murder. But it starts off whimsical and fun. He's a kid. He's going to a castle to learn magic. He gets enemies and he has to save humanity a bunch of times in very similar ways. But it starts off more lighthearted and fun and then gets very, very dark by the time it's all over.
Sure, sure. Well, before we start Hercules trivia, do you have a favorite maybe Disney animated moment?
I do, and for all the animated Disney classics that still have a special place in my heart and my wife's heart because they're very fond memories from childhood, the one that I think we've actually watched the most was The Princess and the Frog.
Ooh.
Because I that's an interesting choice to make because a lot of these classic Disney animated movies, they came out in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and then everything became computer animated. And okay, fine, technology, great, good. But then they go back and they make The Princess and the Frog and it's hand-drawn. And it was a really, really great callback to how they used to do things. And it worked so well. And I think if I had to choose one moment from that one, it would probably be the song Dig a Little Deeper, because it's this really fun, upbeat song. Jennifer Lewis sings it. It's got a really great point to it. The animation is beautiful. And hey, it's full of flamingos.
Always fun.
Yeah, the gospel choir in that song. It's Jennifer. I mean, come on. It's what other movie is going to give you Jennifer Lewis backed up by a gospel choir of flamingos? Come on. That's Disney all day long.
This is not one that I've seen yet, actually. You know, when I think of the Disney classics as well, the ones I was raised on, it was all, you know, before 2000 and stuff. And that feels like the first animated Disney classic feeling movie post 2000, mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah. And I don't think they've really, I may be wrong, they may have done a few. I don't think they've really done any since. If they have, they haven't done a lot. And I know that there is a Disney Plus series in the works for The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and that I can get behind, because Disney Plus taking movies that were already established, getting the cast back together and doing it as a series on Disney Plus, that seems to be working. So I say go for it.
All right. Very cool. Well, before we get started with trivia, to my current listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you rate and subscribe and get some friends to do the same. You can send in your own trivia, email the show, and sign up for my Patreon to get 4 sweet bonus episodes a month. But more on that after some trivia. Jeff, are you ready to go?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Starting with the easy round, question number 1. Who are Hercules' parents? Hercules's? How would you say that?
Herculi. Who are Herculi parents? That sounds very grammatically correct. It's ancient Greece. I think grammar was the least of their problems.
Oh, man. Question number 2. What gift does his dad give to a baby Hercules? Question number 3. Who was the one hero Phil was really proud of, but he ended up failing because of a weakness in his foot? Question number 4. Hades puts Hercules out of commission, saying he'll let Meg go if Hercules does what for 24 hours? Question number 5. How many make up the Fates? Question number 6. What do the Fates trade or use between themselves? Question number 7. What symbol is on the necklace around Hercules' neck as a baby? And question number 8. Phil hears a scream from a distance and says it sounds like a D-I-D, which means what? Going back to question number 1. Who are Hercules' parents? 2 points for that one.
Zeus and Hera.
Zeus and Hera are correct. Are you familiar with Greek mythology?
I'm familiar enough to know that basically none of this is in any way accurate. Zeus was not a monogamous man, and that is not the relationship between Zeus and Hercules at all.
Sure, sure. I was actually more curious about his mother, who I think whose name was only mentioned maybe once in the movie, but I actually don't know who's Hercules.
Because he's a demigod in mythology, which means he had a mortal mother, I believe. But Zeus did that, you know, he literally, like, he'd snap his fingers, boom, pregnant women all over Greece. That's how that goes.
Okay. Well, question number 2, what gift does Zeus give to a baby Hercules?
Pegasus.
Pegasus is correct.
Makes him out of clouds.
Yeah, that was a pretty nifty trick there.
It's a very Disney thing to do. Make a horse out of clouds. He's a god. Why not?
Of course, of course. Question number 3. Who was the one hero Phil was really proud of, but he ended up failing because of a weakness in his foot?
Achilles.
Achilles is correct.
Yeah, he was a real heel. The jokes write themselves. I just read my lines.
I know there was a couple of times in the movie where people were giving him a hard time for, hey, like that, something about that Achilles there, too bad.
Yeah, you missed a spot.
It was like he had this one big weakness. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was not at all his fault. But again, we're not doing a literal interpretation of mythology here.
Sure. I was watching a clip online, like biggest game show, like mishaps. And the answer was the great hero Achilles. It was mythological hero Achilles. And somebody pronounced it Achilles and lost the Wheel of Fortune round.
Oh, I should think so.
Oh, I got a kick out of it, though.
Oh, boy.
Question number 4. Hades puts Hercules out of commission, saying he'll let Meg go if Hercules does what for 24 hours?
Gives up his strength.
Give up his strength is correct. Yeah, and beyond his strength being given up, he just looked like he couldn't even move.
Yeah, it looked like, I misunderstood that when I was a kid. I thought he did more than just take his strength away. Like, I thought maybe he gave him, like, an illness or something.
That's what it looked like.
Well, sure. And I mean, if you need something visual to go with that, like he had this glow about him when he was so strong. And now it's the opposite of that. It's like that weird gray filter that they put over the camera in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Sure. Question number 5. How many make up the Fates?
There are 3.
There are 3 of them, leading us right into question number 6. What do the Fates trade or use between themselves?
An eyeball.
An eyeball is correct. Do they take turns sticking it in each other's heads?
Yes, very sanitary. But again, ancient Greece. Don't get me started on what they did before toilet paper was invented. So swapping an eyeball between your sisters is probably not where you draw the line.
I mean, it did fall on the ground, didn't it?
Yeah, but then, you know, 5-second rule. You blow it off, you wipe it off a little bit, and then you stick it in. Boom.
Of course, I forgot about the 5-second rule.
What I couldn't get was, like, I could never tell, do they just use it to see the past, present, and future? Because they make a prophecy with it, but can they actually see or not? And also, why did they have to, like, in order to gain the gift of past, present, future, did they have to give up like 5 eyeballs for that? So now they just have the one?
That's true. What is the story there?
There is so much. And that's what classic Disney movies are all about. You can't ask too many deep questions because the plot holes are built in so that you have something to talk about. I mean, Disney movies can be summed up by saying, just go with it. Just go with it.
I think we'll have a lot more of those coming up in the medium and hard rounds.
I bet.
Question number 7. What symbol is on the necklace around Hercules as a baby?
It's the symbol of the gods. It looks like a cloud with a lightning bolt coming out of it.
That's exactly right. And to end the easy round with question number 8, Phil hears a scream from a distance and says it sounds like a D-I-D, which means what?
Damsel in distress.
Classic. Absolutely correct.
Very antiquated term. Would not recommend calling people damsels in 2023.
No, yeah.
Great pro tip to start off your year. Not at all good to refer to people as damsels.
Yep. People do need to listen to this podcast for dating advice? Is that?
Yes, dating it. Oh gosh, man, if we're going to talk about dating advice, boy, did we pick the right movie to start with, because they don't do any of that right here.
Oh my gosh. Since I've been rewatching some of these movies to, write trivia for them, I've also been checking the ages of these people in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently, mm-hmm. Hercules has maybe the largest age gap, with him being about 18, and apparently Meg is 28.
Dude, a few months ago, I did an episode of But Make It Scary with Sequoia Simone, and we talked about Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know, the one where a much, much older man shows up out of nowhere with no exposition and mentions that he was prepared to marry Audrey Hepburn's character when she was 13, and he was not 13.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No.
No.
Unacceptable.
Yep. Well, I can tell you, at the end of round one, you are 9 for 8 right now.
That's a good score. I don't know math very well, but that sounds like some good math. I like that math.
You're doing great.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include 7 best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows releasing week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts who have seen a show with two who have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot episode and try to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV. Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
I have seven medium questions next here, starting with question number 9. The Muses sing, "When the Earth Was New, Giant Brutes Ran Amok, Called What?" Question number 10. When someone's about to die, what do the fates do? Question number 11. In order to kill a god, or in this case Hercules, what does Hades have to do first? Question number 12. When Hercules goes to the temple, how does Zeus communicate with him? Question number 13. What city does Phil take Hercules to after he finishes his training? Question number 14, one of the boys trapped under the rock says, "Somebody call, what number?" And question number 15, what do the four main big bad guys embody? Going back to question number 9, the Muses sing, "When the Earth Was New, Giant Brutes Ran Amok, Called What?"
Titans.
Titans is correct. Yeah, I kind of forgot about this part of the movie.
It's okay. Everything evened out when they moved to Tennessee.
Wait, is this a sports joke?
Oh my gosh, did I just make a sports joke that somebody else didn't get? This has never happened to me before.
I don't watch sports.
Yes, an NFL team called the Tennessee Titans. You know what? We're on Disney. I should have made a Remember the Titans reference. I should have just said, "Oh, it was the Titans. You remember the Titans? They used to they did that movie with Denzel Washington, and you definitely watched it every year from grade school to high school in class."
Denzel's the only part of that movie I remember.
I remember feeling like that movie was really accomplishing something when I was watching it, and then I remember getting older and listening to movie review podcasts where they start making the point that it maybe didn't as much as they thought it did.
Interesting.
But you remember Denzel Washington? It's like you said, you remember Denzel Washington. And by the way, where was Denzel Washington in this movie? They could have given him a part.
Speaking of actors and parts, too, I love hearing Danny DeVito's voice and things.
Oh, me too.
Him as this and him as the Lorax, I think, are just great.
Oh, yeah. And I love how when they get these big actors to do animated characters, they always make the characters look just enough like the actors playing them that it really translates. They really made Phil in this movie look exactly like if Danny DeVito was a satyr.
I didn't think about that, but I can imagine it. Question number 10. When someone's about to die, what do the fates do?
They cut their life string.
Cut their life string. The thread of life is correct.
They just have the one pair of scissors, and apparently everybody has got a string.
Yeah. It definitely took that one woman by surprise in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, can you imagine how many times they have to do that? Like, how do they have time to have these, you know, prophecy meetings with Hades when they've got strings to cut? And also, how much does it really truly suck that every person on Earth, no matter how good they did, seems to end up here?
Oh, that's true, right?
That's like one of the most messed up things about Greek and Roman mythology. The gods live up in the clouds and they're happy and they can get away with whatever they want. But every mortal person who dies ends up in Hades and it really sucks down there.
Man, I did not think about that. But if I thought about that as a child, it would have given me nightmares.
Exactly. See, this is what I mean. You can't think about it. You gotta just go with it.
Oh, man. Question number 11. In order to kill a god, or in this case Hercules, what does Hades have to do first?
He has to make him mortal.
Turn him mortal, make him drink every last drop of that potion.
It looks like when you take a bottle of water and you add strawberry-flavored Crystal Light to it.
Sounds appealing.
So I think that's probably, because, I mean, baby Hercules isn't spitting it out and saying, ew, yucky, blah, no.
Sure, mortality liquid looks like it tasted great.
Yeah. Almost as good as, you know, mortality. Tasty stuff.
Question number 12. When Hercules goes to the temple, how does Zeus communicate with him?
Through a giant statue.
Through a statue is correct. Definitely. There was something else about this scene that, for some reason, reminded me of Lion King and the clouds.
Yeah, because a big version of a dude with a deep and mighty voice is talking to a scrawny little dude who's peaking in the 90s. In one case, it was Matthew Broderick, and in another case, it was a guy whose name nobody really remembers all that well, because let's be honest, you look at his resume, this was the biggest thing he achieved. I looked up his name earlier today, and I have already forgotten it.
I looked it up as well when I was watching this.
Not to down-talk the guy. I'm trying to be realistic here. Matthew Broderick has had a more successful career than him. But the moments are very, very similar. You are right about that.
Yeah, I do remember looking up the voice actor cast of a lot of these movies as well, seeing if there's anybody else I might have recognized, and was surprised how little I did or how many people I did recognize in there. I did notice, though, there was one lady who apparently plays a common background character who was in multiple of these movies, though. Again, I don't know her name, but I was surprised to see her there.
If she's who I'm thinking of, is she the lady who says they need a professional hero, not an amateur?
Oh, boy. I can't remember.
Because I've heard her voice so many times. The only person in that movie whose voice I've heard more times is Jim Cummings.
Ooh, that's a name I'm familiar with.
Yeah, everybody is. You hear his voice and you immediately can reference. I mean, speaking of Princess and the Frog, he's Ray the Firefly in that one of his most iconic characters. But he's one of those guys that you hear his voice and you immediately think of another character that sounds like that.
Right, right. Question number 13 for 2 points. What city does Phil take Hercules to after he finishes his training?
For 2 points?
Phil calls it its name and then also calls it a nickname.
He calls it Thebes. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
City of 1,000 problems?
Not that. There's a lot of parallels here from comparing Thebes to New York, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a play off New York's nickname.
Is it the city that never stops having problems? That's all I got.
I'm referring to New York's nickname, the Big Apple.
Oh.
And he calls Thebes the big Greek thing.
Onion. I don't know. Are onions even Greek? I don't know.
I was looking for olive.
Yeah, okay. That sounds right.
Again, he mentions it once, you know, but you could still get the point for Thebes.
Yeah.
Question number 14. One of the boys trapped under the rock says, somebody call, what number?
This was my brother's favorite joke, because my brother was quite a Latin scholar when he was in high school. He even worked his way up to president of the Latin club, so he'd be mad if I didn't know this. He says, somebody call IXII.
Absolutely correct. Again, I remember talking to someone about these two and about all these jokes that I didn't get, you know, when I watched them as a kid.
Yeah, I know.
And I definitely chuckled at that watching it as an adult.
I loved it because it was one of the things that I always thought was really cool was learning Roman numerals and thinking, gosh, this is what they had before for cardinal numbers.
Would have been a pain.
No kidding.
And question number 15, for maybe 2 points here, half a point each, what do the four main titans embody?
There is the one that looks like a tornado. Mm-hmm. I call him Twister. The okay. One that looks like an ice monster, I call him Ice Town. The one that looks like a pile of lava, I call him Volcano Man. And the one that looks like a bunch of boulders, I call him Rocky.
You are absolutely correct. I love that you named them.
Well, see, it's one of those, it's so interesting, because just like with the Muses, I didn't think they had names, because when you watch the movie, they just refer to them as the Titans,
right?
The Muses. But when you look them up, you find out they have names.
That makes sense.
They just never said in the movie what they were. So I did not name the Muses, didn't think it was necessary to do that, but I named the Titans. You got Twister, Ice Town, Volcano Man, and Rocky. And then because I couldn't tell, I always thought he was kind of dumb, so the Cyclops I just called the One-Eyed Cyclops.
Yeah, I didn't think he really counted, you know, for the most part. He wasn't an elemental thing.
No, but, I mean, the Cyclops is a major character from mythology, so if you're going to do a story where you're going to cram mythology into roughly an hour and a half and Disney-fy it, you got to put a Cyclops in there somewhere.
Sure, sure. Well, at the end of the medium round, you are 17 for 15 right now.
That's still good math.
Still good. I have 5 hard questions left.
Go for it.
Starting with question number 16. One guy on the streets of Thebes tries to sell Hercules what? Question number 17. A couple kids wear some Hercules brand shoes called what? Question number 18. What other Disney movie is referenced in this one when Hercules poses for a portrait? Question number 19. Hades says everyone has a weakness, listing what 2 examples? And question number 20 for maybe 1, 2, 3 points. Part 1 here. When Hades asks the Fates about his plan to take over at the beginning of the movie, they say it'll happen in how long? And part 2, what does one Fate say is going to be big in the future? Going back to question number 16, one guy on the streets of Thebes tries to sell Hercules what?
Hey buddy, do you want to buy a sundial?
That was so good!
I love that, because I don't know, I don't think they do that anymore, but that was a bit that they did in so many movies and TV shows. You go to the big city, guy walks up to you, hey buddy, you want to buy a watch?
Right.
Because people wore watches, you remember those. They used to just tell you what time it is, now they tell you when, you know, a disaster happens halfway around the world, or your wife needs you to get eggs on the way home.
Sure, sure. But sundial is absolutely correct. Again, another one of those New York references that I was definitely picked up as an adult that I didn't as a child.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Another joke that I just got this time around, question number 17. A couple kids wear some Hercules brand shoes called what?
I think they're Air Hercs.
Air Herc is correct.
That's it. Because I was just asking my wife and I, because she loves this movie, we were swapping potential questions to help me prepare for this.
Sure.
And I asked her, when Hades gets mad at Pain and Panic for having Hercules merchandise, what do they have? And she said, Pain has the shoes and Panic has Herculade. The drink, because, you know, they've got drink cups and straw. They don't have indoor plumbing yet or electricity. And also their afterlife plan kind of sucks, but they've got drink cups and straws and shoes.
Yeah, I wish I would have asked a question about the Hercules. That's really good.
Oh, Bobcat Goldthwait. I mean, that's a voice. It sounds like it hurts when he talks. That's why they made him Pain, because it hurts when he talks like that.
Man, if we could just get like a whole movie with his voice, Danny DeVito's, Gilbert Gottfried, if he was still around, you know, that would be some entertaining movie.
And I mean, speaking of hurting, do you remember when Michael Bolton did his version of Go the Distance for the soundtrack to this thing?
No, I'm blanking.
It was the first time I had heard Michael Bolton's voice, and I thought it just sounded like that because he was old. That was the thought I had when I was a kid and I heard the song. But then I heard other Michael Bolton songs and said, no, his singing voice just sounds like that. How does it not hurt when he sings?
I can understand what you're saying for sure. Question number 18. What I thought was interesting here, what other Disney movie is referenced in this one when Hercules poses for a portrait?
Oh, this is how I learned that Easter eggs are a thing they do in movies and that Disney does them more than anybody, because he's posing with a lion pelt that looks like Scar from The Lion King.
Absolutely correct. Hercules is wearing Scar's pelt for the painting. I love Easter eggs.
Yeah, I love them too. And I mean, it may, again, as an adult who notices things, instead of just going with it as a child, you realize it makes sense he's wearing that pelt. Because in Zero to Hero, he kicks a lion's butt, and the lion looks like Scar. Don't worry about how far apart Greece and Africa are, or the fact that Scar died at the end of that one. Just go with it.
Since seeing this, I have been on the lookout for this in other movies as well. I've only, right now in my watch, have seen Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, and Peter Pan. And I'm thinking maybe, I didn't see one in Beauty and the Beast or Peter Pan. I'm thinking maybe they were too old possibly to even reference other movies.
Yeah, that was where they were. I think it's really with that crop of movies that they started taking things from that era and then referencing them in future Disney movies. They hadn't really, I don't think Easter eggs were even really a concept until they started doing it around like this point.
Right.
Like, somebody else is welcome to go back and try to prove me wrong, but until they do, I think this is where Disney first really started to do that.
I know there's one in Tarzan, but we might mention it during the bonus episode since that episode should be coming out a little later.
Alrighty.
Question number 19. Hades says everyone has a weakness, listing what two examples?
Well, Pandora had the whole box thing.
Uh-huh.
And hey, what do you want to do? The Trojans bet on the wrong horse.
That is absolutely correct. Well done. And to end Hercules trivia with question number 20, a two-parter. Part one here, when Hades asks the Fates about his plan to take over at the beginning of the movie, they say it'll happen in how long?
In 18 years, precisely.
That is absolutely correct. Do you remember what other circumstance will happen in 18 years?
Yes. The planets will align ever so nicely.
Absolutely correct. Good for 2 points. And part two of this, I think a question and answer that you've referenced a couple of times now here. What does one fate say is going to be big in the future?
Okay, hang on. I got to prepare for this one.
Indoor plumbing. It's going to be big.
Absolutely correct. For another point there, you are 25 for 20. Congratulations, Jeff.
Yes! I did so much better than I thought. Like, I had a strategy for this one because I wasn't as familiar with the film after not watching it for so long. I watched it once to take in just the general story, like what happens, who's in it, what are they doing. The second time, I was trying to hang on to like memorable quotes and dialogue, and the song lyrics I thought might come into this somehow. And then the third time, I just called it miscellaneous. I was trying to pick up pop culture references, Easter eggs, background characters that are doing fun things.
You watched this movie 3 times to get ready for this podcast?
Well, one time was just to prepare. The second time was to over-prepare. And the third time was because my wife loves this movie, so we watched it together. And I was writing things down. I my favorite thing I have here that I wrote down that I don't have my notes in front of me because I didn't want to cheat, but I wrote it down when I was studying was Odysseus, Perseus, Theseus. A lot of yusses.
Question coming up in the bonus round.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Man, you do 3 podcasts. I can't believe you had time to watch this movie 3 times. But before we get started with this bonus episode, tell us about your other things.
So if you are a fan of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and you are still in denial that this franchise may have reached its inevitable crashing end, then check out Speak Beastie, where we talk about the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them branch of the Wizarding World universe. If you are a Harry Potter fan who loves books and likes to hear people analyze them to pieces, then check out Alohomora, where we do chapter revisits for the Harry Potter novels. If you need a new YA fantasy and you want to catch up on something that's very trendy right now before the second season of Shadow and Bone drops on Netflix, then come check out Into the Fold, a Grishaverse podcast, where my best friend Juliana and I read through the Grishaverse novels chapter by chapter.
And I believe last time you were on for Harry Potter trivia, I think Secrets of Dumbledore was about to come out, and it had been announced that Mads Mikkelsen was now going to be doing that role. And I think you might have said that as if you had to replace Johnny Depp with somebody, that would be as good a pick as any. How did you feel about that when you saw it?
I feel like he executed it well. I know not everything about the film was perfect, and I won't analyze it to death the way I have so many times before.
That's what Speak Beastie is for.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Speak Beastie's for. But we went through a roller coaster of things when it came to that entire franchise for many reasons.
Sure.
And then when they said Mads Mikkelsen and I went back and looked him up, I said, how was this not just like the automatic go-to number one choice? And then I see him in the film, and at the end of the day, I think with what he was working with and the circumstances he was working under, I think he gave us a tremendous performance.
I'm a huge fan of him, so I think he delivered as best as he could.
He really did.
Well, to find the links to all of Jeff's stuff, the links are in the show notes, so be sure to check him out there. We are about to record a bonus episode, so if you'd like to check that out, you can listen to all the bonus episodes on Patreon for just $2 a month. Head on over to iTunes to drop a rating and tell someone you know about the show. It would really mean a lot. Lastly, if you have questions of your own or answers to any of mine, feel free to email me at tvtriviapod@gmail.com or reach out on any of the socials at tvtriviapod. Jeff, thank you again so much for being here, for watching this movie 3 times for me. I'm excited to do this bonus episode with you.
Me too.
Listeners, thank you, and stay tuned for more trivia.